So I'd like to turn our attention now to our scripture reading for today. The passage for our scripture reading today is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. And for those of you who do not have a Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible. And if you see that your neighbor does not have a Bible and you have one, it would be really appreciated if you would share yours with them. Again, the scripture passage today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. And when you turn to that, if I invite you to stand and follow along as I read that passage. Again, we're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. And this is what it says. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I'd like to invite our pastor, Wilson Chang, to give the message today. The title of his message is The Gift of Authentic Relationship. Pastor Chang.
As you know that we are in the Advent season, and this is the second Sunday, and last week we shared a message entitled A Gift. The first gift was the Word of God. If you still remember that, the Word of God is a mean that God used to bring forth life transformation impact into our lives. And we use Psalm 19 as our text. Now this Advent season, because we are so used to receiving gifts, so I think it's appropriate for us to have the theme about gift. So the second gift that I would like to share with you this morning is the gift of authentic relationship. These gifts, altogether, will be four, and then on Christmas Eve service, which will be December 23rd, will be the gift of Jesus Christ. These gifts actually also in line with the ministry values that in this church, particularly in the English congregation, that we would like to grow together and we would like to emphasize and pour in our resource and time and energy to cultivate that. First being God's Word as a gift to us, for us to know Him. Without that, it's impossible for us human to know God. And also the purpose of learning and growing in knowing God's Word is not just to accumulate and increase our knowledge, but to bring forth a life transformation process into our lives. Today I'd like to share with you the second gift, the gift of authentic relationship. But if you are like me, that I grew up in a non-Christian family, and later on in my life became a Christian, you probably have the similar experience as I did, which is I had a whole bunch of good friends. They are non-Christian. They are not Christians. And then when I became a Christian, then I cultivate another group of friends, and sometimes I torn between two worlds. The friend that I had grew up with in my high school, they were not Christians. They are my good friends. We talk very deep. We understand each other very much, and then we've gone through a lot of issues together. But on the other hand, when I became a Christian, there's a new group of friends. They're drastically different. And sometimes it's difficult to reconcile both worlds. I don't know whether that relates to you or you have similar experience. If you're like me, grew up in a non-Christian home and then became Christian later on. And I always torn between that. I'm so emotionally drawn to my original group of friends. But on the other hand, this new group of friends, there's something attractive about them. But on the other hand, sometimes, if I have to be honest, they're a little bit boring, right? How do we go about that? And how should we look at the new group of friends that we gain through our salvation? I would like to share with you from today's text, because Paul used a prayer to pray for the Thessalonians, but that prayer is so much focused on the relationship. So if you have your Bible, would you please go back to that passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 9 to 13. I want to share with you four marks in authentic relationship. This relationship is drastically different from the secular one and from the one that originally that we connect to. Let me read these verses for you. Verse 9. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our Lord, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Before I take you into the depth of the word, let's bow our head and pray together. Father, there's a reason for us to gather together here this morning. It is something beyond friendship. It is the presence of you among us. And you bring us together with a divine purpose. So this morning, would you speak to our hearts, challenge us, transform us, build us up, so that the day when your Son appears again, we will be blameless and holy in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The first mark of authentic relationship I would like to share with you is marked by a kind of joy. The kind of joy is coming from thankfulness. It's displaying a joyous thankfulness which comes from the presence of God. Verse 9. Let me read verse 9 for you again. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? How can we thank God enough? Now bear in mind, this is a prayer in the context about 2,000 years ago in a church in the Mediterranean world that Paul was addressing to. They were in the middle of a situation that they are experiencing suffering and persecution. Paul and Timothy brought the gospel to them, and they were faithful to the gospel. They grow in the gospel. They receive salvation. They know Jesus Christ. But then following is the persecution from the society, from the government, from the culture. They've been pressed from all directions. And in the midst of that suffering, darkness, tremendous pressure, Paul said, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? So in other words, there is a joy, an element of joy that marks that relationship that Paul enjoyed with the Thessalonians. That joy is not determined by the environment nor the circumstances that they were in. Outward speaking, if we are suffering, there's no joy, there's no reason for us to be happy. But here Paul said, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Because the Thessalonians were faithful to the gospel, and it brings joy to Paul's heart. Now, may I suggest that joy is a very, very special thing for Christians. A lot of time, we live our life without joy. Why? Because joy is not coming from an emotion. Joy is coming from a perspective. And what is that perspective? That perspective is thankfulness. Thankfulness, believe it or not, is a discipline. We can discipline ourselves to be a thankful person. I don't know whether you have been with someone who is a complainer. If you with someone who's been complaining, you know what I'm talking about. Because with someone who's constantly complaining, it saps the joy out of your life. It makes your bone dry, and it depresses you. Whether the complaint is true or not, it doesn't matter. A lot of complaint is reality, is real. No doubt about it. We saw that. But may I suggest to you this morning that the Bible that you are holding is prejudice against complainer. You look at it from the Old Testament. The Israelites, when they left Egypt, when God led them in the wilderness, the first mark of their sin, the most tremendous sin that they commit against God is complaint. Complaining, complaining, complaining. Why do we complain? Because we fail to see God's presence in the midst of our situation. We could see God's presence when things go well. Then we thank God, because that is not because of our merit or we deserve it, but because of God's grace and His goodness that we enjoy these things. But on the other hand, can we also be thankful when things don't go well? Because when things don't go well, it is an opportunity for us to remind us that God was faithful in history. He will remain faithful, and therefore the present circumstances, the current situation, will help us to have hope in Him, to look forward to His faithfulness. So therefore, thankfulness is a discipline. We need to discipline ourselves to be a thankful person. No matter how you look at reality around you. Let me pose this challenge before you. Because in nowadays North America, most of us sitting in this room, we have high education, degree beyond a bachelor. We are so used to critical thinking because that's our training. Whether you are engineer or you are in humanity, in science, in arts, whatever that is, we've been trained to be a critical thinker. Critical thinking is a very useful tool in academics and in a lot of situations in life, but don't let the critical thinking taint your thankfulness. You can assess the reality with your critical thinking, but remember, where is God? Even though in the midst of darkness, He never leaves us. And therefore, it encourages us and also challenges us to have hope in Him. And you have been complaining. This morning, I hope this message will speak to your heart, because before you know it, your complaint zapping the life of other people around you. It draws all the moisture from their bone and make their bone dry. To see where is God is the key for us to be thankful, and is also a discipline. Not long ago, I saw a documentary in the public television. It's a documentary about the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth. The crew of the documentary follow her, try to record what's going on inside the castle, inside the palace, and where she goes. And one thing because the Queen of England, she owns a lot of homes, palaces, castles. So you don't know where she is today. But one thing you know that is, whenever the Queen is, there is a special flag. That is, they will fly in that castle. And the people who know the Queen and, you know, in the government, they saw the flag, they know that the Queen is there. And therefore, someone suggests, the flag of joy flies on our heart's castle, announce the residence of the King. When we are thankful, the flag of joy will fly in the castle of our hearts, because it announces the presence of the King. Be thankful. Be thankful, and therefore you will experience the kind of joy that is not determined by the setting, by the environment. Authentic relationship display a joyous thanksgiving which comes from the presence of God. And the presence of God is with us when things are well, and is also with us when things does not go well. Verse 10, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Paul continues and said, they've been praying earnestly and continuously that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Therefore, the second mark of authentic relationship is a strong intention to edify each other's faith. There is a strong intention that we edify each other's faith. That is why we have small groups. That is why we gather together on Sunday. That is why we meet together. We pray together. Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. And verse 11 said, Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. It is a strong intention in that relationship that is expressed in prayer. Not just one prayer, night and day. It's a continuous prayer. And it also is an earnest prayer, because we see that. We see that need of the people in our Lord Jesus Christ, that they need to grow in their faith. And that kind of intention has a price to pay, because Paul said, how may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. You have to remember, 2,000 years ago, for them to travel that distance to go to that church was a lot of trouble. It's not an easy journey. There is a price to pay for other people's sake, to grow their faith, to supply what is lacking in their faith. Now, because in chapter 3, verse 6, Timothy brought back a very encouraging report about this church. So therefore, our understanding of this term, what is lacking in their faith, in your faith, is not talking about some kind of deficit. The church is going well. But I think it's about something that is needed. You know, you and I, when we grow up as a Christian, we know that. You know, we hear Sunday sermons, we attend Sunday schools, we even attend Bible classes to equip ourselves, to know more about our faith, to understand the doctrine, the truth. But sometimes life situations arise, and then we are required to make certain decisions. And then sometimes we have some difficulties in applying that and sort things out. How should I make a decision? For example, a lot of you are young, sitting among us. One question is coming usually a lot is this boy right for me? Is this girl right for me? Or that girl? Or that boy? You know, there's a life situation. When you ask that question, doesn't mean that your faith is in danger. It doesn't mean that you don't learn enough about the Bible. but you might need some guidance and some experience that people who walk through that path before and share with you how do they look at things, how do they deal with that situation, what kind of questions should we ask that relate to our faith. And this is what Paul said, and this is what marks an authentic relationship, that we care about each other's faith and we constantly look out for people that they are in need in terms of their faith, and we try our best to supply to that need, to bring forth. And by supplying that, we have to pay the price of prayer, intercession, intercede for that person continuously, earnestly, and also may be in action, going there to be with them together. The sense of togetherness is very important, because nowadays with the development of modern technology, you get Google Wave, you get all these things, you basically can meet each other without seeing each other. And by doing those things, you know, it's so comfortable, so easy, so convenient that you can do it in the comfortableness at your home. But nothing can replace face-to-face communication. Last Friday, there was a coworker come to the office, knock on the door and want to see me to share with me some of the things that going through his mind. I appreciate that, because he said, I don't want to do these things through email. I want to do it face to face. My brothers and sisters, to be with each other with the purpose and the intention to edify each other's faith is very, very crucial. It cannot be replaced by modern technology, because there's a lot of things communicate when we are face to face. The facial expression, the tone of the voice, it illuminates a lot of opportunity for misunderstanding. You never know how people read your email. You never know how people interpret those lines, or even read between the lines. But face to face is something cannot be replaced, and it's a price to pay. But the most important thing is to focus on each other's faith. That is the mark that marks us, to distinguish everybody sitting in this room here, our relationship with each other, different from any other relationship in this world, with an intention to edify each other's faith. Paul continued to go on on verse 12. He said, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. The third mark of authentic relationship is to increase our love for everyone. You know that our love can be re-increased? It can be increased. How can love be increased? The love that can be increased is through passing on from one another to another. When you pass your love on to another person, that love will increase. It will increase in your life. It will increase in that person who's receiving in his or her life, and it will continue to pass on. And God's love will continue to increase. That's the only way that you can find a resource that cannot be exhausted in terms of love. Because if you only tap into your own love, that's it. That's so much you have. That's so much you have. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we have Pastor Fries and Mrs. Fries come to lead a marriage retreat among us. That's the second time that he came. And he made a remark. He's saying that for those who are newly wed, your passion and love for each other probably will wear out in about a year. Maybe a year or two. But if you tap into Jesus Christ and cultivate that base, your love for each other will continue to transform and increase. That is very true. Especially true for those of us who have been married for a long time. You are in a relationship for a long time, you understand that. Because day in, day out, you get into the routine. And then you know that the well inside of your life, the well of love, dries up very, very quickly. You need to cultivate a new source for that love. And Paul here suggests that may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Pay attention to the last couple words. Just as ours does for you. Paul and Timothy pour out their love for the Thessalonians. That starts that snowball effect. That when they pass their love to those people, they catch that. And then they share that. And the love increases. Increase to a degree that will overflow. Flooding. More than you can handle. And other people get the benefit. It is the same principle, the same spiritual principle. To give is more blessed than to receive. And may I suggest among us that you have a young family. Maybe you have a newborn baby. New addition into your family. It is tempted for us to take care of our own need first. I'm not talking about you go all the way out and then you don't have your family time and help other people and love other people. No. But I'm talking about that is recalibrate your attitude, recalibrate your perspective. Leave some time, energy to love others, to care for others. Because when you do so, you will receive more love from the Lord and you will experience that. And I'm pleased and I'm proud to testify this. Because years ago when our kids were very young, you know, I still remember that early winter morning. We dragged our kids out of the bed on Sunday morning to come to serve in the choir. And a lot of time our kids would catch cold, runny nose, get a flu. And people sometimes say, you know, why, Wilson, why you do that? Your kids is young. Just wait a couple of years when they're older, then you can serve the Lord that way. But I think we made a decision. We want to set an example. We want to love our Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly with the whole family. And we were not intentional at that time, knowing that that would leave an impact on our kids. But today, my daughter is in college. I did not require that. I did not put any demand on her because you are pastor's kid. But when she go to a new place, she find a new church, she plug in, she want to serve. And that brought joy to my heart because I know that the God that I love become a personal God for her and for my son and for my other daughter. That they will enjoy Him for the rest of their lives. And therefore I can trust them in God's hand. To give is more blessed than to receive. That is the spiritual principle. If you want to be rich in the Lord, that's the only way to go. Materially or non-materially. Same way. Authentic relationship is marked by the increase of love for everyone. And finally, in verse 13, Paul said, may He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. Authentic relationship in our Lord also bears the mark of an eternal perspective. There is an eternal perspective in there. It's not just stopping in this life and have fun, have joy together, and have a good conversation together. That's it. No, it has an eternal perspective. The perspective is to pray and to earnest to seek the goodness of others so that one day when our Lord Jesus Christ appear again, our friends in Christ will be blameless and holy in His sight. Because this is very, very important for Paul. He lived this life, the short-term decision, in light of the long-term consequence. That is the principle that he lived for. And he warned his people, people that he loved in Christ, that one day we will stand together blameless and holy before God. That is what I want so much to see all of you, that one day up there, when our Lord Jesus Christ appears, we all stand and with a big smile, that we are blameless and holy. Not because we can attain that, but because we realize and we constantly connect back to our Lord Jesus Christ for his grace on the cross that continue to cleanse us, to transform us, to enable us to love him and be faithful to him. It's my wish to see all of you that day that we are blameless. We truly understand what is grace in Christ and we grow together. You see all these marks. Authentic relationship displays a joy of thankfulness come from the presence of God. It's marked by a strong intention to edify each other's faith in Christ, to increase our hope, love for one another, and bear an eternal perspective. So in other words, this authentic relationship that you and I already in is drastically characterized by a God-centered perspective. Everything, you see all these marks, is related back to God the Father. It's all related back to God the Father. So in other words, what distinguishes our relationship from any other relationship outside of Christ is we have a God-centered perspective in all these things. Is it boring? Yes, sometimes it is. Because when we address these issues, some of these issues are serious. But it has an eternal implication. And it's for the own good for each other. And we grow together. And another interesting point in this, not only is a God center, but it's a Father center. You see, Paul continuously addressed God the Father. Our God, our Father. It's a loving relationship that coming from God. It's because of the Father's love we can enjoy his Son who died on the cross to redeem you and me. And this morning, we are facing the element, the bread and the cup representing Jesus' body and his blood. The love of the Father sent his Son to die for each one of us on the cross, to cleanse us so that we can be whole again in him. It's the kind of love coming from the Father's heart. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my father had a mild stroke. He recovered about 95% of his function. But it's become a mark, a distinguished mark in my life as well as in his life. Because ever since I grew up, my father has been the caregiver in the family, providing for the family, providing care and support for me and my brother to grow up. I'm so used to that, even though when I grown, I have my own family, in terms of material, in terms of all these things, sometimes we give them back more than they give us. But nevertheless, the impression that he's the caregiver of the family still burn in my mind. But starting from that stroke, his life turned from a caregiver to a care receiver. And now I understand, some of us, that you might have gone through the process of losing your parents or seeing your parents aging, the kind of pain and loss and emptiness, the lack of a caregiver. And how did it feel? And I can understand that. And also, sometimes our earthly parents, fathers, might not be as good as we wish them to be. You hear the story in this society that, you know, I grew up in a dysfunctional family, that my parents' relationship to me is all about negative. And then we live a life full of negativism. But this morning I want to urge you, and I want to encourage you. Shake off that victim mentality. No matter how dark that past is, would you turn that around and become your expectation, your hunger, your thirst of God the Father, who is going to be complete and perfect, and all sort of goodness will coming from Him. That's the only way you get healing, is to turn, to refocus, even though your brokenness, turn that focus into God Himself and expect that from Him. Not from psychology, not from counseling, you know, those would help, but ultimately it should point you back to the Father, the perfect Father. Turn that around. Don't live your life with the victim mentality, but look forward to God Himself, because that authentic relationship is all about Him. It's all about Him. Here in this church, in the English congregation, we have a caring team. We get people like Mabel, Bobby, David, Steve, who work together to tender to the need of the small group. These are the values. These are the purpose that we work and labor together with you. So please don't look at them as quote-unquote supervisor. No. We want to work alongside with you to cultivate the kind of authentic relationship that would distinguish us from the rest of the world. You can have social gathering, you can have fun, but when we get together as Christians, there should be an intention. There should be an edifying element. There should be challenging each other to be joyful, to see God in all circumstances. And the ultimate concern is the eternal perspective on each other, that we can grow together. That is what the caring team is for. That is why we try very hard to work with you together on a small group. You know, a lot of small group leaders are working very hard. I really appreciate that. And they have these things in mind. So when they come up with something, would you please look at that suggestion, look at that initiative in the light of the truth of God's word, and support them. And support them. You can have fun with some other time, but when we get together in the name of Christ, there should be an intention. There should be all these things in places. And that's where we want to grow. There's our small group ministry. But on the other hand, today we have the joy to welcome Pastor Tim's family among us. You may surround him with their family with handshake and hugs and all these things, but it's nothing better to surround them with our prayers. To pray that the authentic relationship among us, including their family, in the years to come will grow. We will grow together. We are not show watcher. Don't expect a new pastor come, it will resolve our problem or the problem. No. We have to work together to cultivate that kind of authentic relationship and grow together as one family. Surround them with your prayer every day this month. Pray for them, and if you say, what can we pray for them? Follow that. That they will experience that among us, and you will experience that with them together, that we grow together. And therefore God will be glorified. Let's bow our head and pray together. Father, we are grateful for the relationship that you have in this church for us. If we forget, we did not see that divine aspect of this relationship, would you forgive us? But today, you open our eyes. You see that you desire us to grow in this community. so that our joy will increase, so that we can be more into a thankful person, so that our love for each other will increase by our own action of giving and sharing, and we edify each other's faith by being with each other, by sharing your word, and also we care. And we hope that when our Lord Jesus Christ come again, all of us will be blameless and holy. So Father, would you listen to our prayers? Transform us. Help us grow together. Thank you for being our Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.